I'm going to go to chapter number 1 this morning, book of Judges, chapter number 1. I want to read three verses this morning, verse number 12, 13, and 14. Judges chapter 1 and verses 12 through, actually 15, excuse me, I'm going to go a little farther. Verse number 12 says, "And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Achsah my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Achsah his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." You may be seated. Thank you. I want to share with you today, especially as I look at verse number 14 and the question at the end of that, "What wilt thou?" When I think of this man Caleb, I think of a man who believed God. Being one of the spies that was sent out, we find that he was one of only two that believed God could take him in to this wonderful land called the Promised Land. I'd like to take you back to Numbers chapter 13. You might just hold your spot there in Judges. Book of Numbers. And chapter 13, I want us to read a little bit about this man and see a few things here. There's a reason that I'd like for you to see this, because I believe he was a man of faith, and he does something in the verses we just read that is wondrous to me. Chapter number 13, notice verse number 26. We find that they had return in verse 25 from searching the land after 40 days. These are the 12 spies. "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it." Do you ever wonder why that expression "flows with milk and honey"? What produces milk? Well, we think cows, but also sheep, you know, goats already. So we find that it would be a place that would be very prosperous for animals. And of course, honey means that there are many bees there. That means that the foliage, it means there's many flowers, it means there's fruit. And so when we see these words, it's speaking of the tremendous fruitfulness of the land. Verse number 20, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now we notice contrast here. We notice first of all that the spies, they talk about the land, but they say these people are well fortified. And Caleb immediately speaks up and said, "Let's go get it. We are able to do it." He knows that with God's help they're able to do it. But notice verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel say, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Let me ask you a question this morning. Just make a little application. Are you a Caleb in the matters of other people and the reports you bring to them? Or are you the 10? Are you one that helps to inspire faith in others? Are you one who brings doubt to the hearts and minds of others? This be very important for us. For we have more influence in lives than we might realize. Caleb here believed God. Caleb sought to get the people to believe God. Go to chapter 14 with me. Chapter 14, just a few verses on. And notice with me verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Interesting. These two men stand together and they say their defense is departed from them. The 10 say they are well fortified. They are giants. They are men of war. And these two say their defense is departed from them. Who believed God? It's very obvious, is it not? Who believed God? It was Caleb and Joshua. And we find that they were men of faith beyond that of all their peers. And we find that because of the 10, the entire nation of Israel fears to go up and take the land that God said was theirs. And so those 10 had the influence. By the way, the majority is not always right. They're not always right. I think we saw that in an election a couple years ago. Point well taken. Amen. Caleb, this man of faith, when we come to the book of Judges, he is wanting a son-in-law. He is wanting a man to be his daughter's husband. What kind of man is he looking for? It's interesting to me because Caleb said, verse number 12, you're in the book of Judges now, I'm back there. Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Achsah my daughter to wife. Interesting statement. Here's a man now who believes God. He had faith. He believed, hey, if we go up, we can take this land. Their defense is gone. We are able to do it. A whole generation passes away. Caleb is now in over 85, by the way, because at the age of 85, he says to Joshua, give me this mountain. And now he is in a position and he's saying to the men round about him, I have this daughter and the fellow who goes up and takes this city, he taketh it, not just smites, I mean, he takes it over, he can have my daughter. My thought is this, Caleb is a man of faith, and Caleb wanted a man of faith for his daughter. He wanted somebody who had enough belief in God that he was willing to put his life on the line and to go out to battle and to take that which God said was theirs. He wants a man that has a faith for his daughter. In verse number 12, I believe we find where Caleb wants this proof. I believe that we find that this man Othniel proved himself very well in the following verse. He is the one that goes and does so, and Caleb, we find, gives to this man Othniel, who by the way is his nephew. It is his brother's son, and he gives him his daughter to wife. This man, Othniel, later becomes the very first judge of Israel. Go with me, chapter number 3 for a moment. chapter number 3. Notice with me verse number 9. We find that children of Israel, they had walked away from God. We find sin had come into the nation. But finally, after they are in a situation of persecution, they are being overrun by others. We find it says in verse 9, when the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them. Notice who? Even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, went out to war, and the Lord delivered Chushan, well, you figure that one out, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against him. Boy, how would you like to have been that fellow's mother? And have to walk out the back door and call him. I get amazed at some of the names in the Word of God. Amen. By the way, when I'm speaking from this pulpit and I go through and I pronounce all these names, don't take it for granted. That's the exact pronunciation. I've been looking at this woman, Aksa, and I think it might be Aksa. But I'm thinking to myself, I don't like an ache, sir. And so I've just did it, sir. Maybe you want to do atcha. You figure it out. You do with it what you want to. And you probably know it as well as I do. But we have a little fun with it. Has anybody ever made fun? I had fun with your name? She has fun with yours? Hey, I have fun with my own. I want you to think about this. My first name is Gene. My middle name is Alan, so it's an A, and the last name is S. But you put Gene with AS, and it sounds like genius. Oh, my. I can't go on. Well, you had fun with that one, didn't you? There's something amazing to me when I look at these verses, and it comes really in verse number 14. It says, it came to pass when she came to him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. We find that he gives her to, he gives Aksa to Othniel, and what does she do? She goes to her husband now, and she moves him. She does it in such a way, in such a manner, to get him to ask her father, his father-in-law, his uncle, if you please, for some water land. See? She had been, I believe, taught well by her father. He had been her authority. He had been her provider. And now she has been given unto Othniel, whom he believes will carry that responsibility on. By the way, that is the purpose of a young man coming to the daughter's father and asking for her hand in marriage. And the purpose behind that is when that father says yes, he believes that he will carry on the responsibility that has been his as a father. If he does not believe that, he should tell him no. Get lost. Okay? Matter of fact, it would not be a bad idea to meet him at the door with a shotgun in your hand. And Danny, would it be just great, just fire it a few times, just to let him know that you're not scared to. It gets around. When you're in a farmhouse, you get away with it. I'm afraid if I did it out my back door, word would get around too to the wrong people. Oh my. By the way, the 4th of July, I thought about doing some target practicing because there was so much going on, I figured I'd get away with it. I didn't do it. But anyway, she asked her father through her husband. It really shows a line of respect there. It is evident, I believe, from that there had been a closeness between Caleb and Aksa. Girls learn And don't take this word wrong, because it's a very wonderful word, intimacy with their husbands from their daddies. And one of the problems in our society today is that daughters and their daddies have not bonded and are not close. And they enter into marriage with no idea of what to do in the sight of a man. And if they've watched television, if they've listened to their girlfriends, they have a very perverted idea and ideal of marriage. And they seek to be the leader in the family because, ladies, no offense to you, it is in you. It was in Eve. It's in women. And thus God says that you must submit. And that's a thing of the heart that says, I've got to do it, not because I want to, because it's an act of my will. And it's for your benefit. And when a woman can understand that because she has learned these things through her daddy, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I believe that moms and their sons have a similar closeness. And in that closeness, they have learned with their mothers the same type of a thing. It's interesting how girls who are close to their daddies look for a guy like their daddy, and guys who are close to their mamas look for a woman like their mama. But we find that there's tremendous failure today amongst our dads in this phenomenon. And of course, in this day and age, we find that kind of relationship, sometimes people look at it with suspicion. What a horrible day we live in. A horrible day. And there must be that kind of a thing. Now, I don't bring this lesson just for that purpose. I want you to see something else that I think is just tremendous. I want to make a little bit of an application here, because when I look here, I see something else. I see an application here because you and I, we are, as a part of Christianity, if you please, we are considered the bride of Christ. We are, one of these days, going to attend the marriage supper. You and I have that wondrous relationship with the Son. Can we say we are going to marry the Son? We are the bride of Christ. Here's a woman whose father she now wants to ask, but she's now married to another. And what does she do? She goes to her husband, who is a son-in-law. That's an interesting term if you think about it. I got thinking about these terms, mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law. I've even used the word cousin-in-law, you know. You have all these, nephew-in-law, you know, I mean, you have all of these terms. I thought about that, in-law. That's within the parameters of God's law. We've been brought in the family. My kids call me daddy. Most of my in-law kids call me dad as well. I've heard my own children. Matter of fact, I heard Jeff refer to his in-laws this morning as dad and mom. That's not an improper thing. It's not an improper thing. And so here we find that this woman now goes to her husband to ask her daddy. She's going through proper channels. But here's what I want to do with the thought on this. When we speak to our Father, who do we go through? We go through the Son, do we not? You know that when we pray and we say in Jesus' name, it's not a magic formula we put on the end of a prayer. I think sometimes we do it so mechanically that we don't really stop and think about it. It's because it's through Christ that we have this access to Him. You see, now because she's under the authority of her husband, it's through him she has access to her father. Isn't that interesting? And so she moves him. By the way, that teaches me something too. That teaches me, by the way, guys, we got to watch this one. It teaches me that a woman who does it in the right way can get anything she wants. How many men would say they do? Yeah. And by the way, when they do it the right way, you love doing it. It's not a matter of being, you know, haggled. I mean, you like doing it. Do you reckon that our Heavenly Father is the same way? He wants to. And we do it the right way and we come through. We come through the Son. We come through the Lord Jesus Christ under the Father. We can ask Him. And I want you to notice what He says then. What wilt thou? We have the privilege to ask of God. Let me read to you a verse found in the book of John chapter 15. It says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." I want you to notice two things before we get to that wondrous promise. If we abide in Him, we are living in His presence. We are in fellowship with Him. His words are abiding in us. We are listening to His wonderful Word. We're listening to Him speak to us day after day after day. We are in this wonderful bond of fellowship. And what does God say? Let me read it for you again. "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." I have heard it said so often. I have said this. I've come to the conclusion it is a wrong statement. I have said it. Maybe you have said it. I have heard it said many, many times. God always answers our prayers. Many times He says no. That's not what this verse says. If I'm abiding in Him, His Word is abiding in me. If I ask what I will, He says He will do it. Now let's consider for a moment. If I'm in complete fellowship with the Lord, am I going to be asking Him something that's out of His will? No. Because I am abiding in that wondrous position next to Him. Now let me ask you a couple of things. Or one thing. Maybe you can give me a couple of answers. What do you know is the will of God? What are some things that you could say, "I know this is the will of God, and thus if I prayed for that, God would do it"? Okay. There's two times in the Word of God that God tells us that His desire is that all men might be saved. Okay. So if I pray for an individual, I know that God's will for that individual is they might be saved. Okay. Now I also know that God will not make anybody be saved. He may make them wish they were. But God, I believe whenever we pray and ask God to work in a life to be saved, He answers that prayer. That doesn't mean they get saved. That means God is moving upon their heart. Perhaps He brings an individual into their life. Perhaps He, in their mind, brings some recollection, some verse. Something just maybe jumps out of the blue. Who knows? But it's God's will that all men be saved. So I know that if I pray in the will of God, because He tells us that too, that He answers us. If I'm walking in fellowship with God, His Word's abiding in me and I'm abiding in Him, it's also my great desire that people be saved. Have you noticed when you were lost that drunks just love somebody to drink with them? The lost people love for somebody to drink with them too, of the Spirit. I believe this morning, the reason we don't get our prayers answered is because we're not walking in fellowship with Him as we really ought to. And quite honestly, I've come to the conclusion that we say that God says no to give us an excuse for our lack of walking with God. The other problem we find, of course, when God says no so often is because we find in the book of James, we ask to consume it upon our lust. We're not really in fellowship with Him. It's not about God. It's about us. Well, I asked God for a new car. He didn't give it to me. He must not care for me. Whiner. Good grief. But that's the way we are. That's the problem, especially in America. We see prayer so much in the realm of stuff. And prayer ought to be more in the realm of the spiritual. Okay? And so when we find what God is anxious about and wants to take care of, when we pray and ask God to work in that matter, He does. I believe it's God's will for you to walk in the Spirit of God. And so if I pray, and that's something I do, and I ask God to work in your heart that you might be walking in the Spirit of God, I know that God is going to answer that prayer and He's going to be jabbing you real good. You see, I can have an influence on your life besides Sunday morning. Amen. And that's not only a responsibility of a pastor, but it's a responsibility of all of us in this matter of prayer. And so she came and she asked in her husband's name, who is the son-in-law. I mean, she comes and seeks that, and he says, "What wilt thou?" And I love what he said. I mean, when she asked what he says, "What wilt thou?" He is saying, "Hey, whatever it is." I think of Galatians chapter number 3. It says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It is according to His power. Aren't you glad it's according to ours? But in that benediction, if you please, He said, "Unto Him who is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above." I've also learned that when God says, "What wilt thou?" and I pray, and I'm walking with God, and I'm praying, and I'm asking God, He does it so much more marvelously than I would ever hope for. I can't even dream that big sometimes. That is our God. Amen? How wonderful He is. And then it's always, I believe, for His glory. In Ephesians, He says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages." And of course, answers to prayers for His glory. I want to share something with you. I got a few minutes left. Chapter 77, the book of Psalms. Chapter 77. We find some praying going on in this chapter. It says, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted." You ever been there? "I remembered God and was troubled." Unusual statement. "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Selah, a word I believe means, really think about that one. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song of the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. Does this sound like a guy that's about ready to go off the deep end, or maybe has? Notice verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Here's what fellowship with God can do. Here's a man that got out of sorts. He began to look at himself. He began to look at all the problems in his life. And I mean, he was in despair. By the way, you have selfish thoughts, you're going to be in despair, because all the thoughts about you is going to run you into the ground. Because everybody's treating you wrong. Nobody knows you. I remember when I was a little boy, I had a little dog. I named him Snoopy, but my mother couldn't say it, and it became Snooks, and that was my dog's name. You know, little Snooks got hit by a car, got out of the yard, got hit by the car, and ran right over the side of the neck. Did not kill a dog, just really scraped him up real bad. But he was almost deaf after that. Could only hear very sharp shrills. So I could talk to this dog, never heard a thing I said. And I'd be in trouble with Mom, and boy, things weren't going right. I mean, nobody, there was no friends. I didn't have any brothers or sisters at home to run to. You know, I'd be all upset. I'd be crying. Nobody loves me. You ever been there? I would go outside and sit on a stump or whatever on the porch, and that dog would come up. And I'd tell this dog all about it. Couldn't hear a thing. Oh, did you know dogs don't understand you anyway? And that dog would lick the tears off of my cheeks and lick the ears, love my earwax, I think, and just would lick me, you know. And I'd be thinking, boy, the whole world's against me. I did that a lot as a kid. That dog had a lot of free tears to lick, you know. I discovered that inward thoughts only lead to despair. And he looks at all that and he says, and I said, this is my infirmity. All this negativism is my infirmity. This is what I'm going to do. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. I don't know about you, but it just is a crescendo, that which is going upward. That's what it seems like. As his thoughts go to God, instead of himself and all of his pity parties. By the way, you ever notice you send out invitations and nobody shows up? The only one to ever show up is your dog. My mother never came out to my pity parties. If she did, you know what she came? She came with this present, and this was the present she brought me, and was these words, Gene, you're feeling sorry for yourself. Get over it. How many of you ever heard those words? Oh, man, I heard them so many times. Oh, I ain't feeling sorry for myself. That was my common answer. I really believed that for a long time. And I see here, as he changes his thoughts, he's communing now with the Lord rather than himself. He's now in this position of proper fellowship with God. And his whole outlook changes. When you and I are in the proper fellowship with God, our whole outlook changes. And the requests we make known to God are those which God wants to do to start with. And our prayers get answered. And He does it exceedingly abundantly above. Did you notice? She just wanted some land with some water on it, and He gave her the upper and the nether springs. She got more than she bargained for. That's our God. Amen? So beautiful, wonderful things that we find in the Word of God. I don't know about you, I was reading that and it just touched my heart, and I thought about that wondrous relationship there and how that changed and how God gave them the request through now the Son. And God blessed. And what a picture we have of our God. Amen? Beautiful picture. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this time. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that You love us, You care for us. Thank You for this wondrous privilege that we have to be at Your side. Oh God, we get so selfish in our thoughts and we don't spend that time with You. Forgive us. Change that in our lives that we might recognize the great goodness of God. We not be in despair as we often are, but God, we might have those beautiful, wonderful thoughts of You as the psalmist did in this beautiful chapter. Bless now, we pray, in the hour to follow. Oh God, I pray that You might, in that hour, really tug at our hearts. God, how we need those things that are about to be said. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. You got about 2 minutes, the bell will ring. Does this sound like a guy that's about ready to go off the deep end, or maybe has? Notice verse 10. And I said, "This is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Here's what fellowship with God can do. Here's a man that got out of sorts. He began to look at himself. He began to look at all the problems in his life. And I mean, he was in despair. By the way, you have selfish thoughts, you're going to be in despair because all the thoughts about you is going to run you into the ground. Because everybody's treating you wrong. Nobody knows you. I remember when I was a little boy, I had a little dog. I named him Snoopy, but my mother couldn't say it, and it became Snooks, and that was my dog's name. You know, little Snooks got hit by a car, got out of the yard, got hit by the car, and ran right over the side of the neck. Did not kill the dog, just really scraped him up real bad. But she was almost deaf after that. Could only hear very sharp shrills. So I could talk to this dog, never heard a thing I said. And I'd be in trouble with Mom, and boy, things weren't going right. I mean, nobody, there was no friends. I didn't have any brothers or sisters at home to run to. You know, I'd be all upset. I'd be crying. Nobody loves me. You ever been there? I would go outside and sit on a stump or whatever on the porch, and that dog would come up. And I'd tell this dog all about it. Couldn't hear a thing. Oh, did you know dogs don't understand you anyway? And that dog would lick the tears off of my cheeks and lick the ears, love my earwax, I think, and just would lick me, you know. And I'd be thinking, boy, the whole world's against me. I did that a lot as a kid. That dog had a lot of free tears to lick, you know. I discovered that inward thoughts only lead to despair. And he looks at all that and he says, "And I said, this is my infirmity. All this negativism is my infirmity. This is what I'm going to do. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. I don't know about you, but it just is a crescendo, that which is going upward. That's what it seems like. As his thoughts go to God, instead of himself and all of his pity parties. By the way, you ever notice you send out invitations and nobody shows up? The only one to ever show up is your dog. My mother never came out to my pity parties. If she did, you know what she came? She came with this present. And this was the present she brought me. And it was these words. Gene, you're feeling sorry for yourself. Get over it. How many of you have ever heard those words? Oh, man, I heard them so many times. I ain't feeling sorry for myself. That was my common answer. I really believed that for a long time. And I see here, as he changes his thoughts, he's communing now with the Lord rather than himself. He's now in this position of proper fellowship with God. And his whole outlook changes. When you and I are in the proper fellowship with God, our whole outlook changes. And the requests we make known to God are those which God wants to do to start with. And our prayers get answered. And He does it exceedingly abundantly above. Did you notice? She just wanted some land with some water on it, and He gave her the upper and the nether springs. She got more than she bargained for. That's our God. Amen? So beautiful, wonderful things that we find in the Word of God. I don't know about you, I was reading that, and it just touched my heart, and I thought about that wondrous relationship there and how that changed and how God gave then the request through now the Son. And God blessed, and what a picture we have of our God. Amen? Beautiful picture. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this time. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that You love us, You care for us. Thank You for this wondrous privilege that we have to be at Your side. Oh God, we get so selfish in our thoughts, and we don't spend that time with You. Forgive us. Change that in our lives that we might recognize the great goodness of God. We not be in despair as we often are, but God, we might have those beautiful, wonderful thoughts of You as the psalmist did in this beautiful chapter. Bless now, we pray, in the hour to follow. Oh God, I pray that You might, in that hour, really tug at our hearts. God, how we need those things that are about to be said. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. You got about 2 minutes, the bell will ring. Do-do-do-do-do.